class in our series. We're going to speak specifically with Shem tonight about there's a mitzvah says in the Torah. The Torah says, "Ki yikach ish isho chadosho," when a man does marry a new wife, "Layetze letzovah," he should not go out to the army. "Layaver olav lechol davar," no public work should be put over him. "Noki yiele beisai," he should be totally clean, dedicated for his household. "Shona achas," a full year. He has to be able to deliver full attendance for 1 year. "V'simach es ishtoi," and he should make happy his wife, "asher lokach," which he took. Now we have to take this word very literally. Literally. The Torah ordered the man, not the woman, for a full year after he's getting married, not to get involved in any public matter, in order that he should be able to deliver his entire dedication for a full year, noki yilavesa, his entirety, for one reason, in order to be able to make happy his wife. That is a mitzvah sefer d'raisa. In the previous classes, he emphasized very strongly, and since there's some nuance here, what is a mitzvah sefer d'raisa? Mitzvah sefer d'raisa is just like eating Seder night matzah, and Shoshon to hearing Shofar, it is a mitzvah sefer. It is a mitzvah in the Shona Rishona. Anything which you do to make happy your wife, you become a mitzvah sefer d'raisa. Anytime when you do something which is not a personal growth, a personal thing like tzanochas tefillin, davening, learning, and you're getting involved in any outside communal work, in anything, if this is army, or in today's time, getting involved in askonas, you're becoming an askon. You're becoming a talmid torah gavi, you're becoming a gavi in a shul, getting involved in politics, or in any outside work, outside of the house, you mevatel a mitzvah sefer d'raisa. Also when you come home, you're fulfilling the mitzvah simachas ishtoi, but since you took off extra time, in this time you can't be together with your wife, you mevatel a mitzvah sefer d'raisa. A mitzvah sefer d'raisa means, and just to emphasize it strongly, imagine sitting Seder night at the Seder table, and there's beautiful shmurah matzahs on the table, and you say, "Put it aside, I don't want to eat." It's called bittel mitzvah sefer d'raisa. The chinuch, the mitzvah of the lochav and tovkuf pei dalet, explains the mitzvah of shonei rishonei. Now this is a very important part for us to learn. Those who still have shonei rishonei far of them, they should know what shonei rishonei means. And those already, shonei rishonei is behind them, including me, and we have not fulfilled the mitzvah of shonei rishonei as it should be, it's never too late. It's a chiddush. You could always make a shonei rishonei in a later date. We may not benefit the mitzvah of shonei rishonei, the mitzvah sefer, but we may benefit the result, the product of the mitzvah. As the chinuch brings down, I will explain it a little bit more broader. The Gemara is Uktin Shabbos. Nashe Am Bifna Atzma, Hane Nashe. The woman is a nation for themselves. Woman is a nation, an independent nation. What does the Gemara try to tell? Just like Americans, when they have to do business with English people, also they have many things in common, they have a common language, but there's a certain barrier between English custom of life and Americans, but at least it's not such a big barrier. So you don't have to learn too much about the English people, how to make business, and how to talk to them, and how not to offend them. But if an American businessman has to go to Japan, has to go to China, and to do business with them, he has to really learn about the custom of the Chinese people. Forgive me. Because they are very interesting customs, the Chinese, especially the Japanese, they're very dignitary people. and you may do something which is simply going to offend them. And there's no excuse, you don't know it. You come to us, learn about us. You may simply offend them. You have to learn about the customs of life, which is a natural thing. And people do that. People in business, they learn how to deal with Chinese people, how to deal with Japanese people, not to offend them, and how to get the best result out of it. When the Gemara says, women are a nation for themselves, means that we have absolutely no idea what woman is. We have to know that. This is most of us men have a big mistake. We think that we know the quality of a woman. We deal with the woman as we would deal with our friends. Because we know men, we know ourselves, we know our brothers, we know our friends in yeshiva, we know our people in business. And the way you want to get across to your wife, the same as you're getting across to your friend, you want to put a point across, you want to argue a point across, and it's totally not so. Women happen to be a total different mentality than men. And I would say women are much more foreign to men, that we should understand them, that we should know the custom of life and what is hurting them, what is not hurting them, much more than American businessmen should understand the Japanese and the Chinese. Much more. And I will explain it later. Now, even when we do study this nation, which is called the woman, and suppose I know already basically what women are about, how to deal with them, the emotional stage, whatever they are, then comes the second thing, what every woman is a mesechta for himself too. First you have to know the general about the woman, what differs a man from a woman. But after already I had learned about women, I took psychology classes, and I know what the woman's needs are, we were going to speak about, then every woman is a mesechta for sich. And just like we learn mesechta's gitni, don't mesechta's kedushin, learn mesechta's kedushin, don't mesechta's makas. Every mesechta has to be studied. So also, you can't say, I know shas. You have to study every mesechta, not that mesechta. Same thing, he says, I know already the mentality of women, but you don't know your wife. And the way the Chinuch explains the reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a mitzvah for the man, not for the woman, the mitzvah of the man, the Noki Yelebeis Hashanah Achas, should be 1 year dedicated, shouldn't be focusing on any other thing except in order to give the man an opportunity and a chance to get known his wife. Because he has to know the Schwachkeit, all the weaknesses of the woman, all the Mishigasen. Every person is entitled for Mishigasen. And you should know there's no people free of Mishigasen. Every person has his Mishigasen. Every person has his weaknesses. And don't try to educate them. Don't try to straighten them out. Don't become your wife's therapist, and don't become your wife's psychologist, and don't become your wife's instructor, and don't become your wife's Mashgiach. Of course, woman is being told the same thing, but this is not something we're speaking here for Chassanim. We have to know that every person is entitled for the weakness. And if you want to have a good harmonized life for the future, you have to get to know what her Mishigasen is, where she's getting hurt, what is upsetting her, what is not upsetting her, and that every woman is totally different. I usually call the Shoner Rishoner, I call it the foundation. We give under the chuppah, we give a brocha. V'hiskim loy mibeni binyan ade ad. Kodesh Baruch Hu is mezavik zvugim. When you're getting married, you're not getting married for a year. You're not even getting married for 10 years. You're not even getting married for 60, 70 years. It's binyan ade ad. It's an everlasting binyan. Everlasting binyan. That means, whatever you want to invest, whatever you want to accomplish with this woman, to build doiros, to build generations, the quality of the generations in the future will be according to how you lived with your wife. So Sholem Bayis does not stop after 60, 70 years. The fact of Sholem Bayis, Bechlal, we have to know that Yiddishkeit is an atiyah, is a plantation, planting. As you say, anything which we practice in Yiddishkeit is an atiyah. It's like we're planting. And what you plant, that you get out. Hazoirim bedimo berino yiktzoiru. And that's exactly what you have to know. That when everything is a plantation. Now, when you do a mitzvah, a mitzvah is an atiyah. You plant it. What will come out? We spoke in the seminar, we spoke about, I'm not going to go into that. But obviously, when you plant a tree of apples and you're putting in a crippled seed, you're going to get crippled apples. a marriage is a binyan ade ade, everlasting binyan. Now, I'm just giving it for the matter of record, because not necessarily only because you have children. You have to know marriage is a binyan even without children. I'm just bringing it in for the reason, which is good to know. The Zohar Kodesh says, from every relationship between a husband and a wife, there's children. Because there's a mitzvah soina, there's a mitzvah to be with your wife. And the mitzvah soina has nothing to do for children. Because the mitzvah soina, even she's miberes, even she's pregnant, even she can't have children, even she's old and you old, whatever it is. So mitzvah soina, as we have explained in the previous classes, is an independent mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. Bechlal, we spoke about in the previous classes, Chassanim, that marriage is a mitzvah for himself, independent of children. Of children. Children is a mitzvah, a separate mitzvah. It goes together. But actually, it's two mitzvahs. But the Zohar Kodesh says, in every relationship between husband and wife, there's children. Those, some children come with a physical body, and those are physical children. Do you see them? The other, they are, if they've been done with Gdisha, with Tahara, with the right intention, the moirid in the shomais, bringing down the shomais, and some if it is done with special tzitzikas, those are later could become gerim and so on. But even then, in ben David bo el shetichlan shomais shebeguf, it's called the shomais shebeguf. What's the lashon shomais shebeguf? That we have to know that mimona afar Yaakov, Mr. Reva Yisrael, as Bilam said, and he was counting that the Kodesh Baruch Hu was counting every tipas zera from a Jew. Because this comes from the Moich of a Jew, you have to know every tipper, every drop of zera of sperm has an address, and nothing goes to waste. Chas v'sholem, if this thing is being misused, it's misused, mederech aveira, mederech taiva, or v'shloi b'mokah, v'chulu v'chulu, everything which it shouldn't be done, then you moiled, you also give birth, which you want to mashchisim and mazikim. And those are the mashchisim t'yasrekar and secho, which people suffer from. You people suffer from our own mashchisim, from our own on things which we had given birth. In the Shlaim there's a minig, I don't maybe hear to you, that when there's a Levi Bar Minon, when they bring out, that they yell out, Kinder zal nicht noch gaan, children shouldn't go after the mitzvah. That's the minig in the Shlaim. They don't go after the mitzvah. But the machris, if you yell, Kinder zal nicht noch gaan, children, who the machris for? They could tell the children, the machris, all the children, every type of zero which came out as our kinder. The machris kilu, those mashchis and makatrigim, they shouldn't come after that. What I'm trying to say, however, says the Zohar Kodesh, if we have proper mitzvah so in the way it should be, the way the mitzvah really is, this is a binyan adayat. This has an effect, and this is an atiyah. We may not see it immediately. Plantation is you planting here, you see something coming out much later, and you see it later, yes. You're long gone, and the whole machne comes out of that. So Shonen Rishon is a foundation for such a binyan. And we know, a binyan, when you build a structure, you have to put a foundation according to the structure. When you're building a small building, you're putting a 2-foot footing, 3-foot footing. If you're putting a 10-story building, you're putting a deeper footing. And if you're putting a sky, a high-rise, from 20, 30, 40, 50-story buildings, you know, the higher building board, a deeper foundation you have to do. A better foundation you have to do. Very, very unfortunately, we don't prepare ourselves planning. What do I want to accomplish in my life? I always say, when I'm speaking of Sameach to guys, when I thought about Shuvas, Malas Shuvas, when I get married, I'm ready to get married. So I said, you know when you're ready to get married? When you could bring me a printout, give me a blueprint, what do you expect of your life? He says, you know what, sit down. I say, what, if Hashem would listen to you, give me an outline, what do you expect of your life? Now you're 20, how do you want to be at the age of 25 with how many children? How do you want to see yourself at the age of 30 with how many children? How do you want to see yourself at the age of 35? How do you want to see yourself at the age of 40? What do you want to do with your children? What should you see them learn? Should you get married? When should you? So on and so on. And then finally, how do you want to see yourself departing from the world? So my children and grandchildren taking care. Have a picture. Once you have this picture, so at least now before I'm getting married, this is what I would like to accomplish. At least you know what kind of foundation to put in. Do we have such a picture? You ever thought of such a picture? Do you know what you plan? Nobody thinks of it. You go by day by day. Just like the Empire State Building. before the first shovel went into the ground, the blueprint was there for the entire 100-story building. So exactly on the 100-story, what's going to come is what's going to come with the 10-story. Everything was exactly in detail there. I wouldn't say everything it works out the way it should be, but at least I put down the proper foundation of where to put the ladder columns. The first thing which we have to have is a plan and a design, at least what I want. It would be of not as Hashem's doing. But I have to know it now, I'm getting now married. And the Torah tells me, this year I have to prepare. I have to get a mutual understanding with my wife. We have to agree on the same things. We have to bring it. We're going to speak later on how you come to communication, how we come to an agreement. But you have to know what you want in order to convince somebody else. Many times people come, couples come, and they complain. We can't communicate, you can't communicate, there's no communication. Why is there no communication? I said, first, can you communicate with yourself? Do you have open communication with yourself? So what do you mean? So can you talk to yourself? Do you know what you want? Can you answer your questions, your own question? Or are you going around and around yourself, and you're just living in a fog, and in a chaotic situation? Of course, if you are confused, if you can't communicate yourself, how can you communicate with others? And one of the frustrations which couples cause to each other by lack of communication, because I don't know what I want to begin with, either we yell out of blowing steam, we're upset, we're frustrated, but we don't know, we're upset and frustrated also because we haven't got a destiny. When a person has a clear destiny, has a premature, this and this is what I want to accomplish, this and this is my plan, and he sees, here I'm going, here I'm accomplishing, here I'm a little bit off, here I'm a little behind, he knows exactly how to complain or what to complain, what is wrong, what is not wrong, he knows what to tell him, it's not overspilling to his wife. And the Torah gave the chiyuv of laying this foundation up to the husband and not to the wife. As we spoke in the previous shir, we spoke about in the previous classes, that we could see the entire chiyuvim is one-sided chiyuvim in the Torah. Sheira k'siswa nosala yigra is from the husband to the wife, not the wife to the husband at all. The k'siv is giving the husband to the wife. From the wife, had never signed anything, never promised anything, has no chiyuv min haTorah to do anything, and as the Talmud Gemara says, and puts v'simach has ishtoi, v'samech has itzei, he has to make happy his wife, he has to make himself happy. Well, glad we have to know that. Is there any question? Could no. The Chalav, we have to know. The Gemara says in Kiddushin, also the Kaddish is Isha Ashi Irena. You're not supposed to marry your wife until you see her. Why? So why? But there's a question why. Maybe it's Reinfall. You're going to get a witch, you're going to get a woman who cannot please you. What does it mean why? What is the Gemara? The Gemara says, you know why? Because Shemo maybe is going to find in her a Dovah Maguna, something which he doesn't like, and he's not going to be able to make her happy. He's not going to be able to extend her love, and he's not going to be able to fulfill the mitzvah from after the Achukum Eichel. That's the reason. He doesn't say maybe you're not going to be happy, you're not going to get what you want, she's not going to satisfy you, because she is not out. She cannot satisfy you unless you give it. You give it to Min Hashemayim. It's not something to pick and choose. It's a very important part to remember. We always blame our wives. Why am I not happy? But they don't realize. The Mishnah says the pasuk says Esela Ezer Kenegdai. Zocha is the man. Zocha, the woman will be Ezer. Loi Zocha is the man. And Loi Zocha, she is going to be a Kenegdai. She could be the nicest woman. She could be the nicest giving person in the whole world. For this husband, she's going to be a connector. Why? Because the husband is a lezocha. The only time when a woman could make happy a wife, a husband, is when Hashem gives it as a gift. So there's a lot of work to be done. You have to do your share. Plus you have to be mispala, that you should become a zocha, and then she could become an ezer. If not, she's going to be a connector, regardless if she wants or not. There's many women, they complain. To say, I can't make my husband happy no matter how much I want, no matter what I do. My husband will never be happy. And I saw it many times in practice, in my practice, in many, many cases, where there's the most beautiful man, the most beautiful woman, and the woman tries to do everything to please her husband, just the husband cannot be pleased. Period. For no reason. The answer, there's a reason. The reason is because, lezocha. Hashem just didn't give it. Just like men, not every person gets children, not everyone gets parnasa, not everyone is zeicher to have pleasantness and happiness from his wife. It's an extra bracha. The best raya, I know shlemils, which is they don't deserve anything. And they have the most beautiful wives, and the wives are carrying on their hand, they're getting everything. And the man tells, I don't know why I deserve it. And they, because he was for some reason zeicher. Why is Hashem's cheshbonish? Why one man is zeicher, why one man is not zeicher? And that's the first mistake which men think. We think, because my wife can't make me happy, therefore I can't stay on, therefore we should get divorced. I'm going to get married to somebody who does make me happy. If you are loizuchah now, you're not going to be loizuchah there. Yes, there's a legitimate case for divorce for a different reason. If it comes to the point that I cannot make my wife happy, not I can't be happy. Because the mitzvah is a sima chesishtoi. The mitzvah is sima chesishtoi, not I should become happy. Also, the kar shem yudem motzu adem ginev, and in that we wouldn't be able to bestow love and happiness to her, and you're not going to be able to be mekayma after achol kumecha. That's the reason also the kaddish. The fact that you be shortchanged, you take your chances, you take your risks. It's okay. You're not getting married to take. And it comes out when we are cheating in the foundation, in the shoner reshoner, this thing is affecting us in entire life. Entire life you're going to be affected by this cheating. I always could best explain it with a true marshal. I was visiting Russia many times. In Russia, you have the big building, the tall skyscraper, the tall project. And there's hardly one window closing properly or door closing properly, the elevator doors. There's, everything is cockeyed, everything is cracked, and it's unbelievable. It's almost unbelievable. You wouldn't find a straight building or a solid straight building. Like nothing is holding. And I asked him, what's going on with you? It's putting in so much money, so much structures. How is the building 10 years old, a 20-story building, and there's not one door closing properly. Everything is like lapidated and unbelievable. Staircases, these rooms. What's going on here? And he smiled. Finally, they tell me, they says, you know, in Russia, nobody makes a kosher living. In Russia, everyone makes a living of stealing. You can't make a kosher living. So in any other industry, you could steal somehow. But in the construction line, you know, they're getting to the builder's building, they need 1,000 doors, they get 1,000 doors and 3,000 windows and 20 toilets and this. How can you make a living? What can you steal? It's immediately noticed. You don't get an extra window to steal off. The only place where they could steal is in the foundation. Foundation has to put in so much and so much concrete, so much and so much steel and metal. So instead of putting in concrete, they're putting in a barrel, they're putting in all kind of junk, and they fill up the space of the thing, and that on surface, on the top, they put concrete. And then the other concrete, they sell it in the black markets, other people who make illegal extensions to the homes, whatever it is, and that's to make their living. The only place to steal is in the foundation, and that's what they do. So what's happening? Fine, when the building goes up, after a year or two, things, the barrel starts shrinking and the foundation starts cracking. So when the foundation gives way, the whole building starts becoming lapidated and everything starts. So they patch up here, patch up there, but it wouldn't help. It's many times. I know in Armenia, when it was the earthquake, all the buildings fell apart. What's why? Because we're all cheating in the foundation. And cheating in the foundation, the building has to fall apart, a slight little thing. In a regular country where you make proper foundations, buildings don't fall apart just because of an earthquake, as it was. I say the same thing is in our marriages. When our marriages gets difficult, and sometimes the crack starts coming up, not the first year. First year, Shona Rishona, yeah, you go to Miami, you go to Long Island, you go here, you go there, you go to hotels, you run around, and you're busy entertaining yourself, not building foundations. You're busy enjoying yourself, entertaining yourself with nonsense. But when stress starts coming down, other child, a lack of panosa, and a shviga mitzvah in business, and this happened, all of a sudden, the tolerance level busts. And all of a sudden, we can't tolerate each other. And then, all of a sudden, the crack starts coming up. So what did you do? When you go to marriage counselor, you go to a Rof, you go to a Chavar, you go to this one, start patching it up, a patch here and a patch there. But the longer they go into marriage, and the binyan becomes stronger, not taller, other child, other prayer, and as long as you're into marriage, the problem starts to multiply and to multiply more and more. The problem becomes bigger, and this patches doesn't hold on. What's the solution? Solution is, you know, if you realize the problem is in the foundation, you have to take jacks, lift up the building, put them on lolly columns, you know, meanwhile, You have to dig out all the rotten foundation underneath, pour new concrete, put in new things, re-cement, settle back the building on the new foundation, you have a building. Then patch it up, and you have a good structure. If not, the structure falls apart. If the Shon HaRishayne has failed, we had not done our first Shon HaRishayne when we had to do it, so it could be done. But all of a sudden, the building is starting falling apart, and we see that we are sick and tired of patching and patching and patching. Patch it here, a crack comes up somewhere else. Every day there's a second blow-up for second reasons. What the answer is, you have to go to the chinuch. The chinuch explains, you have to start learning, understanding our whites, where the problem is, and you have to make a new Shon HaRishayne. The Simach HaSishtoi. It cannot be done alone. If you have to come to a third party, we'll lift the building up and we'll put them and make a certain structure meanwhile until the new foundation has been poured, has been taught to each other. Once you get knowing each other, then you settle back the picture and fulfill the Simach HaSishtoi, then the structure could go on. I said a statement before that first you have to know b'chlal what a woman is. We're going to speak about it. And then you have to know who your wife is. Your wife is a mesechta for yourself. And therefore there's a mitzvah, isha chodosha, asher lokach, because the mitzvah Shon HaRishayne is really only a new wife. A wife you take back the second time, there's no mitzvah Rishon because you know her. You know her, actually you have fulfilled her. The whole person Shon HaRishayne is like you're entering into a college to study this woman. All her weaknesses, all her meshigasim, how can you buy her, how can you flatter her. How can you get her? It's a very to know her, true and true and true. All her weaknesses, what you should do, what Chas V'Shalom you shouldn't do, all it's nothing. I have a person who says, I don't know a woman. Of course I know a woman. I know my mother. I know my sister. What does it mean I don't know a woman? The answer is no. Your mother, that's really the problem. We know the women because we know our mothers, we know our sisters, and there the problem comes because we look at our wives the way we know our mothers, and we don't realize our mothers are totally, totally different than our wives. The role of a mother is to be a provider, the mother to care on me. Where the role of a woman is, of a wife, is that I have to take care on her, not she has to take care on me. I'll be telling you, as we spoke in the previous shurim, we spoke, the purpose of a marriage of a man has to become a noisy and a giver only. The man, a bocher, at home by her parents, is a taker, is not a giver. The mother is the giver. And that's the first big mistake. Not only that we don't know the role of a woman, we don't know what a woman is, but we have a false concept about a woman. We know a woman which is a mother, and the mother is a total giver, a provider. And here I'm looking at my wife, which is also a woman, where I have to become the full provider. But I'm crossing this, I'm looking at her, she should mother me, she should provide me. And if I don't get from her at least something which I used to get from my mother, I'm getting upset. No, you got married that you provide her, not she should provide you. So that's one reason that not only we don't know woman, but we have a total misconception about woman. The second thing is, I know my sister. Well, this next problem is, we know my sister doesn't bother me. We're not gravitating to each other. We don't have this tie we want to each other. Because Baruch Hu made so nature that brothers and sisters, they don't play a role as a man and a woman. Zohar Mekeva Bora Oysam. Where you and your wife, you have a relationship as Zohar Mekeva Bora Oysam. Because Baruch Hu had given you the Yetzer Hara, as we spoke in the previous lecture. That Yetzer Hara, which a man has to out a woman, makes the Toiv Toiv Ma'oid if you know how to use it. Now that Yetzer Hara, which you have to use with your wife, you have to live with her, a life of intimate life, which is using your Yetzer Hara, and to make from this Yetzer Hara Toiv Toiv Ma'oid, to be Kedusha, Tahara, to be harmony, relationship, as we spoke in the previous lecture, that you could never felt when you were in the vicinity of your sister. Because with your sister, the Yetzer Hara never worked. So again, there is a problem. Either we minimize, either we become extra cool and extra cold and extra insensitive if you compare your wife to your sister, or if you compare your wife to your mother and you become, she should be a provider, so you become a provider. So obviously, we have total misconception about the role of a woman if we take our acquaintance of a woman which we used to have before we were married and we try to bring it into our marriage life. So that's the first thing that we have to learn about woman. that they have to be taken care. And the first time I'm becoming a provider only after I'm getting married. Even a bocher in yeshiva, supposed to be a, even if it was a big bal chesed, even a bocher is a gewaldige bal chesed, does a lot of good things, goes out of his way doing a lot of things. They think he's going to become a wonderful husband. Many people think like, oh, this bocher is a gewaldige bal chesed, he cares about everyone, such a bal chesed, such a charitable person. And this husband, this man, could be come to his wife, the worst husband. Because the question is, how good was he to his mother? Some people are very, very good, but in the home he can't get along with his mother. Because his mother wants something he can't give to his mother, because the mother was always he's spoiled by the mother. And all of a sudden when he's getting married, he looks at his wife as an extension of the mother, because he's entitled to get supper, he's entitled to get laundry, he's entitled to get her respect and support. Achum Bey would be if she is shortchanging him. If she shortchanges him, that doesn't give it anymore, then he can't accomplish. Then he's losing perspective that this is not a mother. This is a wife which has to be taken care. And once this is lost, the problem starts. So that's the first thing which we have to know. The second thing which we have to very carefully build in our Shona Rishona, we have to know instructions is being given by Kodesh Baruch Hu. Not our logic, not our rationality, just like these instructions how to keep Shabbos in the Hilchus Shabbos, just as instruction how to put on tefillin, this Hilchus Tefillin, Hilchus Tefillin, Hilchus Kashers, there's instructions ben Odom Lechaveroi, how to behave, how the husband has to take care of the wife, how the woman has to take care of her husband. And that is one of the fundamental things which we have to bring into our head. It's not a relationship as we usually build up in the business world, in the yeshiva world, in the besmedrish world, like a give and take. Between husband and wife is a chiyuv that we are responsible, just like as we mentioned in the previous year, it's an institution where you have to grow. And if one doesn't do his job, does not patter the other one. In other words, a business contract is Reuven Shimon make a contract, partnership. I will do this, you will do this. Reuven didn't do his share. Shimon says, I'm not going to do my either. They're entitled because they only got together because you're going to give me this, you're going to do this. A marriage is not a business contract. If you're not going to do your share, I'm not going to do my share. Everyone is mechuyev 100% to deliver, independent of the other one. Even the other one doesn't deliver at all, he's still mechuyev of doing it. It's a very important part. Maybe I'm repeating, we spoke about last time about it. Yeah? Mm-hmm. What? Yes, but on the tapes, on the tapes it's available, so we're not going to... Now, usually, when you have between two people, I'm just going to give you a diagram. When you have between two people a problem, here is one, here is the other person, and there is a distance between them. Now, a goyishe marriage, as we spoke last time, the Maral explains, is a business contract. You do yours, if not, I'm not going to do mine. But a Torah marriage does not work like that. I have a chiyuv. My chiyuv to my wife is a chiyuv, just have to put on tefillin. If my wife doesn't do for me, it's her problem, but I still have to do it. If I don't do it, as long I'm married to this woman, I have to feel she exists when also the yigra, which is soon we're going to explain more in detail. If she doesn't do what she has to do, I still mechuyev. You can't do it, you have a problem. Then, if you can't deliver what you have to deliver, then a get comes into the position. But to be with a wife and not to give to a wife, it's like Bikl Mitzvah says the Reiser. To give her back and to hurt her is lasikin velasitar. Okay. So therefore, in secular marriage counselors, what do they try to do? When you have two people opposing each other, they try to bring together, they try to bridge this gap. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't work, they care about it. To a certain extent. But ours is not so. In Torah it's as follows. The man is here, the woman is here, is above here, is a pyramid concept. Above here is the Torah. Torah gives orders for the man, and is an exact detailed orders coming down from Torah to the man. The exact detailed orders coming down from Torah to the woman. Now, if there is differences between husband and wife, The husband has to be learned what a Torah is mechayev to do. And the commitment of the husband is to go upwards to vaz his wife. The commitment of a woman to go up in Torah, to go upwards to vaz what the Kodesh Baruch Hu tells him to do. There's no more chazal. And that Momore Chazal is not actually advises how to give and take as two business partners. All this what Chazal tells on a man, and Chazal tell us, this is Chiyuvim, which is Mukhrif to regardless how the woman takes care. That comes out. When a husband and wife, which 99.9% they have differences, don't expect things gonna be easy. We always have tremendous connectors. And it's most of the cases. Baruch Hashem. How do we get together? The answer is very simple. You just start, not go towards your wife. You just go upward, just do your chiyuvim. Start climbing the ladder to your chiyuvim al-pitoira. The woman, she has to go. If both of them are going upwards, the more they're going upwards, they're getting closer and closer. If they made all the way up, they're becoming one, mamash one. This is the pyramid concept. I'm speaking in the book on it. And this is something which works. No psychologist, no marriage counselors could compete with it because they don't have structure. We have structure. The Torah tells a man how to behave with his wife. The Torah tells the woman how to behave with the man. And if everyone listens and follows the Torah, if they do a 100% job, they're becoming mamash one. If they do a 50% job, they're still getting closer because the further they go upwards, they come further. There is one other thing. There is such a thing as a one-sided pyramid. Even if only one side goes all the way up and the other one stays there, even then it could become one. But I'm not going to go into detail. They don't have an easy. He doesn't have an easy life, or she doesn't have an easy life. Physically, they're not that one, but they're fulfilling the binyan adiyat. The responsibility of marriage, which is a binyan adiyat, which only Hashem knows what he is going to miss by roive yisroel. Because Baruch is counting every drop of relationship between husband and wife, as Bilam said, and only Kodesh Baruch Hu gets the dividends of this relationship. As long if one of them makes a 100% climb on Pi Torah, even the other one doesn't budge, it's ready. Hoilo Bosrecha, the prophet, the dividends are there. The next thing. Let's learn a little bit about the nature of a woman. I think last time we explained it a little bit, but now we'll emphasize more on a woman. The Maral explains, the woman is all instincts, regish, where the man is all intellect. There's a tremendous mistake which we usually have. Why do people scream and yell when they're fighting? They're all excited, they're all emotional. You can't reason with emotions. After all, you can't reason with emotions. You know, when you see a child is too emotional, you can't reason. You could tell him, talk till the end. It's one of our mistakes why we yell, we get frustrated, you can't communicate. Because when a person is upset, because the person is in chaos, he's emotional. With emotions, you can't reason. Reason never comes across. The woman's nature is regesh, and the man's is more intellect. When a woman is hurt, we can never really understand the hurt of a woman because he's hurt mentally, emotionally, and our hurt is more intellectually. Therefore, our hurt could easily be taken out. You could talk yourself out of it. Big deal, what is the big thing? Stupidity. You could forget fast. The Gemara says, why a woman is not makabel pius? When you hurt a woman, she's going to be hurt. She's going to remind you 10 years, 20 years. My wife still reminds me think I hurt her 33 years ago. And she's right. She can't forget it. I used to blame her. Why do you have to bring up always the past? As it's there. It's ingrained. The Gemara says man is being birthed, that being created from dust. From dust you could wash it off. It's all gone. The woman was created from etzem, from a bone. And once you engrave something in a bone, it stays there forever. You have to, all your life you have to compensate her when you were hurting her. When you once deeply hurt her, that hurt is engraved. You could only make her forget about it, not to erase it. You can never erase it. You have to love bombard her continuously. You have to give her continuous You have to supply or supply with new love in order that deep hurt shouldn't submerge, shouldn't come up. The minute when you withdraw, you told your supply of love, and she gets angry or little, any little petty thing, everything which happened 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years, instantly she's hurting it again. Therefore, we get totally up, we get totally angered, and we become, all of a sudden she makes such a big flare up. A woman could flare up immediately, she could blow up immediately. He says, what happened? She's angry, so you call her, she's an angry person. She's an emotional disturbed person. She's not angry at all. How much she at this time, when you just this stick, this little thing, and all the past comes back on her, she gets re-hurt again. She gets hurt again. Just like you were hurting her 10 years ago, 15 years ago. That's the nature of woman. And therefore, we have to be extra careful. If the Gemara says, you have to watch on the tears of women, because they're immediately tearing, they're immediately crying. As Rabbi Rakowski explains, why are they crying? Not because they're crybabies, because they have a deeper hurt. Why is the deeper hurt? Because the hurt comes out again. It's collected again. Everything. A man has a very easy nature. A man, you got hurt yesterday. You forgot about it. Finish. It's over. You have to hurt the person again from new in order to hurt him again. If you hurt him again, the old hurt doesn't come up. It washes away. He's mekabel pius. Since the woman is regesh, is instinct, and we have to know, when it comes difficult times, pressing times, you're becoming nervous. It's the nature of a woman. And therefore, always you have to be careful. And time when it comes critical times, comes before Pesach, comes in, you have to be extra sensitive, not to step on her, because she now is extra sensitive. More than this, woman, the cologne of a woman which she got, in addition, which men didn't get, she got a much bigger cologne in this respect, that the etzav til dibonim, she gets the vessel, she gets a period every month. And that period, she's actually a choyla, she's sick every month. And we know the mood swings which women get through. Some women get extremely nervous, some women get extremely crazy sometimes when they're getting before the verses, while they're getting the verses. Now, you don't know what, we never know what does it mean to monthly, overstep the cycle, and now you can't trust yourself, now you're getting extra emotional, now you get extra depressed, now you get extra this. All these things, is again, every woman has a different nature. And by the way, every woman which has a different nature, after every child, nature changes too. So you always have to study a woman from new, your wife from new, how not to affect her, how to be a contributor, how to help her. So therefore, women are getting extra nervous when there's a stressy time. When they're getting nervous, your duty of minatoid is to calm her down. So you can't say she's a crazy when she's nervous. No, therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to you. I don't know if we spoke about it last time, but I repeat myself. As the Torah had cursed the man, the woman, El Ishech Teshikosech. You're going to be depending on your husband. A woman is totally lost without her husband. A woman has no stability without her husband. It means emotional stability, mental stability. Therefore, when a man is handling his wife as a boyfriend, as a chavrusa, he doesn't understand that here is a woman who walks on crutches. And every little mental, emotional thing is she needs a crutch, her husband, to give her confidence and support. And if he doesn't do that, just like you take a man who had a stroke, who walks on crutches, you just take away the crutches, and the man is shaking, it is falling apart. That's exactly when the woman do not get the attention of their husband, and it's possible with their husband, he took away the entire support system, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu had given for the woman, that man should take care on her, because that's the only thing which alleviates the klala and ishef teshikosech. Just like man, this is being told for the colors, for the woman. Just like man has the klala, the etzav til dibonim, that he goes on an ego challenge, that he's being continuously challenged and hit in his ego in the business world, in the challenging world, in the Torah world, whatever it is goes out. The woman has to give the support for the wife, that without the woman, the man cannot make it on the outside. Just like man cannot survive on the outside without the proper support of a wife, so can the wife not make the proper, survive properly inwardly in the house without the proper attention given by the husband. We also have to know, women in nature, they don't know about time. It's one of the things which causes a lot of problems. between couples. Again, because we think that if my wife, she could never be on time. We made up, we're going to go 7 o'clock, we're going to go, she's not ready, only 7:30. Anything which has to do with time, women usually are difficult of keeping time. And then we blame, it's my wife, you're insensitive, you made up, why can't you? Definitely, Bechlal, women are not time conscious. It's one of the reasons why the Torah had forgiven them, because they are timeless. In the Koran, Shoyrish, we're not going to go into that. The Lamala Minazman. Then the Shoma comes from Etzem from a higher stage, the even Lamala Minazman. If the Torah even part of them, beside the fact, they have a duty which they can't tie themselves down to time. A man could be organized. A man has a job, has a kohler, has a shiva. He knows time wise. A man, a woman, through all his children. She has to nurse a child, he has to he has to diaper a child, and all kind of things is happening here. The husband brings all of a sudden home a oirach, and he has to fast cook and all kind of things. A woman is very often, she has to be always on the alert, almost 24 hours she's on the alert, so therefore time does not click with her. This is the first thing that we have to be tremendously forgiven for women when they can't keep time. There's no point of being angry at them, they're helpless as far as time is concerned. The next thing which we have to also know, a man is an independent person. He likes to say independent. Where a woman is, can never be independent. A woman is either b'shis hovio, either b'shis bala. Today's sick time, people, women try to get independent, but they're getting sick over it. They can't stand it. A woman needs a crutch. And that's the way the Torah made it. Therefore, we have to know that when we're getting married, the woman has a much stronger tie to her mother, to her friends, to her sisters, than a man. And that creates a lot of problem. When the man sees that the woman is still not botach lo lev bala, that she had not given herself totally over to the husband, that the husband could fully rely on her. Why? Because she still has a certain dual loyalty. She has a loyalty to her mother, she has a loyalty to friends, she still has to make the telephone call, she has to be on the phone for stupidities. What we have to know, this doesn't come from that because she's ignoring a man. It takes time until she could get off of the lifeline on what she had lived. A woman needed support before she was married. She's small, she gets it entirely from her mother. Later on, she gets it from a friend. She has a certain, to build up a certain support system. They need to talk to this friend every day, to this friend every day. They have to go out to go shop, they have to go to a party to show themselves. It's one of the reasons why the nature of a woman is to be dressing, to stay in the mirror, to become attractive, because the need, the acknowledgement of certain people, which that makes, that keeps them building. And if you take it away from a woman, the woman again stands without crutches. Now, the minute that she's getting married, we expect immediately, I'm your husband, talk only to me, anything you need, come to me. But yes, intellectually, it could be done. Intellectually, she could make the switch. Emotionally, it cannot go just so fast. Emotionally, you have to give time. She could detach herself. And we have to know, at later time, the matter the man has patience, the man knows that the woman just can't detach herself. Just take your time, and you're taking over little by little, until to the point that you made a good job, that botach bolev bala, that you totally trust her, and she feels that you have a total trust in her, that you belong entirely to her, therefore she gives herself over entirely to you, then she could let go of a previous support system. This is one of the things which makes a lot of shalom bayis problems, where the husband feels, I come home, how could you still be, it's not the right thing, the woman should be on the telephone, husband comes home, I'm not trying to justify that, and we tell for the callers, husband comes home, give him the time, and so. But in case she forgets, and women have a tendency to forget it while on the telephone, they could schmooze and nonsense. When you have to understand, this is just like it's a toy, just like you see a little baby, a little child, a 6 year old as a toy, is not ready yet to grow it up. You have to work on it hard until she could let go. But not to accuse her, you don't care about me, you care more about your friends than you care about me, you care about your mother, you care about... It's not. She can't help it. This is a tank which has been built in, therefore she has a bigger cushion. One other thing is, it's a very important thing, which usually men blew it right after the chasana, the first little while. Many times, men have a complaint, a very common complaint, my wife is not is not interested in my private matter. Not interested in my business. Nothing special I'm going to do in my private life. She's disinterested. And it happens for two reasons. One of the reasons is that in the beginning, when they got married, and then she is interested, and all of a sudden, and some men do not share. Some men don't share. They keep the privacy, which is in nature. When she sees the husband didn't share, she casts once, twice, and gives 20, 30, has to pull the things until she gives up. She says, you know what? I'm going to have to live my life. I cannot be involved. Later, when the man needs the support of the wife and wants the wife to be participant, the wife is also not available. And she says, you trained me so that I shouldn't be involved in your personal life, because the time when you wanted, you didn't open up. Because when we have no need for our wives, we don't open up. We only come crying when we have the need for our wives. But then, she got not used to it. That's number one. Number two, Chazal tells us a very... The woman says, if your wife is a midget, bow down to her and ask. We know, because Chazal tells us, the woman, bina yisera nitlan, women have been given a bina yisera, a built-in intuition of wisdom. I must tell you, in mila de alma, in worldly things, they're much more practical than we men are. She knows people better, she knows people faster, and she knows situations, mila de alma, she has a better grip, a better handle on it. Now what's happening? When we're getting married, and we're supposed to be chachomim, everything we know, koloni chachomim, koloni nevoinim, and we start sharing our wife everything, and all of a sudden she starts telling us certain little things, and pretty practical things, and either we're being offended, you're going to tell me something. I live around 10 years with this concept, 10 years with this, and she tells me, and then when she doesn't accept it and she does not know, she becomes extremely pushy and instructing you, then you're becoming very defensive, then you're starting fighting about it, and the woman sees that all these things is only happening, that they're only giving you arguments, sharing it, she stops communicating. And later on, it usually works out that women, most of the women, have not participating in the inyonim. Obviously, it's not right. I think they should make all the efforts to participate with the inyonim of the husbands, but they do not. We have to know this is the reason, because we spoiled it right in the beginning. Chazanish is very much recommending, it's a very important message, that we should try to make feel our wives are 100% partners in all our endeavors. We should try to participate them in everything which we are doing, in all our decisions, everything which we are making. It's a very important factor. Chazanish, even to the point, Chazanish is very much instructing, when you go away from the house, tell your wife where you go. Does she have to know where I go? I have to give her accounting. It's not for that reason. To show her that she's a part of you. When you come home, tell you where you were, who do you met. Of course, when it's not Lashon Hara. Try to participate little things with her. When she sees that you shared little petty little things, this is for her divrei chizuk, and this is mesameach lo. This makes her happy. And what's happening if it makes her happy? Make her Mrs. Sasa Daraisa. Not. Don't try to be reserved. Don't try to be reserved to yourself. What is your business, to my business, is my business. Try to share, because the mitzvah is, Al ken yaza vishasav yidovik be'ishta voyro boser echad. Boser echad means you should be always together. Now, usually men are most of the day in the outside, either they're in the business, even the koilel world, whatever they do. Voyro boser echad means 24 hours. How can you do it? But these little petty things, when you go out for us, I'm going so and so, I'm going to try to just make it. Just sharing it with her. Coming back, just telling her how great the day was, how bad it was. Little petty things. Actually, you joined her in all these hours where you were away. You just pitched her in, joined her in where you were. And you fulfilled the mitzvah of being together 24 hours a day. If you want to change her, if you want to change a certain decision, you want to educate her, the most important thing is not to dictate or to instruct her, better to educate. This is the most important part, to go down and to talk with explanation, with asbora, and not through nudging and not through repetitious thing, do it, do it, do it, do it. If it doesn't go the first time, she's not mentally set up to listen. She's not capable of listening. You can't have a proper conversation with her. Back off. She put it to her. In other words, when you want to, I remember in particular, I'm just sharing it with, at a certain point, which I wanted to have one certain issue with my wife, which I wanted to get it my way. It took me 3 years until I got it. Never anything direct issue. Always around and around, explanation, until she got the message. This is a very important thing. Because the minute even she listens to you, even you did it and you told it to her because she cares, whatever it is, but she always going to keep a grudge. She always going to feel that this was an imposition, it was unfair. And the one little imposition, a second imposition, a third imposition, all of a sudden blows up. You're dictating my life, you're a tyrant, you're running my life, and I don't want my life to be run. Now, even something which is justified, even something which is right, by teaching and preaching, unless something which is against halacha, something which cannot be tolerated at all, then it's a different thing. But something which could be tolerated is a personal thing, or any kind of a thing, everything has to be derech hasbora, v'havona, everything has to be done, and you have to talk to her, b'dar kenoyam, in a pleasant way, or the best thing, other way of doing it is, as I always explain in Shonen Rishon special, as Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld used to do. Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld, his samach hasishto, but at the same time he didn't want to be bittul Torah, he made a shir with his wife. He had actually a shir daily with his wife. In Shonen Rishon it's a gewaldige zach. In the seminars, we always say, husband and wife should have a daily chavrusa. Daily chavrusa, not only speaking about stupidities and nonsense and business and money and shviger and shver. Not only on that, it creates positive communication. You grow on a positive growth. To learn what she likes to learn, not what you want to learn. You could learn this marriage, whatever you want to learn. If she has a particular, she loves to learn Novi, she loves to learn Chumash, she loves to learn Hashkofa, learn some Musa, Aloha, whatever she wants to learn, she's the boss on that. Give her 50 minutes, a half hour a day, whatever it is, that has to be learned. Now, when there's a certain point in Hashkofa which you want to bring across, you want to change it out, the best thing is, take that issue, start learning about it. Non-direct, don't confront her directly about that issue. Suppose a woman reads magazines, okay? You're going to come in, well, I heard the Muslim, I don't want any magazines in the house, I don't want. You have to know that you can't just take, I'm just giving, all the magazines could be osur al pi halacha. But you know, a woman has to be ready to it. You have to replace it with something. She has to be fulfilled with something else. So you come in, no magazines, no, you have to make hard kind of deal. So if you learn, start learning about it, you start keeping her busy, start communicating about many other things around that, and to the point that she gets hired something else. And then you could say, look how damaging as separate damaging, until to the point, bring it to the point that she should say no. But making just the imposition, ordering, dictating, it's happening. And I know many, many Sholem Bayis cases where it blew up 15, 20 years after the chasana in such a terrible way that the man will never be able to make up with his wife. His wife felt after every time, again and again, but every time picked up that imposition, and all of a sudden she comes with a list of impositions for the last 20 years. She says, I'm not going to be anymore a slave, I'm not going to listen, and everything pours out at once. The next thing is, you have to learn, this is a very, very important lecture, to give a certain independency for the woman in the house. Not everything, to give her certain rights that she should feel. In other words, it's good to give for the woman, she feel that the home is my domain. For instance, you come home one day from a yeshiva, you come home one day from job, and you find the plant used to stand in this corner. She relocated the plant to somewhere else. She moved the picture from here, she moved it there. He says, I don't like it. You shouldn't do it here. You're not right to it. It's my home just like your home. It's totally wrong. We have to know the woman is called the care of Sabais. The woman is called the care of the house. She runs the home. Just like a yeshiva guy. He pleasure yeshiva guy is he could say a chabira in the koilen, and everyone appreciates his chabura. A businessman, he runs a good business. He makes his money properly. So is the woman's role in a home. A woman likes, this is her domain. and she says, this is emotional feelings, the picture should be here, this should be here. And you have to know that in case there is something which you totally dislike and she likes it, she comes first. Because she lives 24 hours in that house, number one. Number two, it affects her stability and happiness much more than yours. Because you don't derive your happiness the way your home is set. You derive your happiness from the yeshiva world, from the business world, from the medrash world, from the outside world. There where you derive your strength. She feels as good as her home is. And therefore she has to know that you have to give over. This is you, the man. You are the boss, whatever you like. Now when you buy a gift to her, you buy furniture. It's one of the big mistakes which all of us make, and I made it. Because I remember I was 20, about 6 years after I got married. No, it wasn't 6 years, 3-4 years after I got married. Finally, I went to Eretz Yisrael, and I went alone, and I wanted to buy a gift, and money wasn't so available. And I remember I bought a beautiful 3-piece knitted suit to my wife. And this was a fortune of money, and I was so thrilled. This was, she's going to be so, so, so much appreciated. And I bought her something which happened to be my color. And she doesn't like my color. I have a liking to green. She absolutely doesn't like green. But I bought the green. And my wife said, you bought for me a beautiful 3-piece which you like, not what I like. If you would have bought a gift, you would have bought something which I like. And she was 100% right. Of course, I could have answered, well, don't you want to be dressed the way I like? It's true. That has to be a gesture of her, not my imposition. Yes, I have to buy her what she likes, and she has to work on herself to be dressed what I like. But when I dictate her, so every time comes up, here I spend money, here I felt I made a tremendous gift to my wife, and I made her happy. And every time she has to take out that 3-piece suit, says, here's my husband, selfish husband, only buys things what he is liking. And instead of accomplishing my goal, I accomplished the opposite. I realize I made a mistake. We have to know that when we are giving anything to our wives, we have to please her and not ourselves. That's our job. Now the fact she has to please us, this is her job. But I'm not her instructor. I'm not her guide. I'm a therapist. Because once I do that again, she feels she's being imposed. And we are selfishly imposing our rules, especially in this area where Chazal said, "Mila da'am shinans." So we have to know, and the same thing is also when it comes to expenditure of money. I'm not telling now a person should change his nature. Somebody stingy, he cannot become overnight not stingy. Okay? And we do have to be very careful in this area. But after when you came to a certain decision that how much money you spend, everyone has a different category of expenditure habits. It's very important, doesn't matter how little the money is, to give her some money she should feel she owns it. She doesn't have to give an account to every penny. She must have a little freedom of feeling that my husband trusts me. My husband gives me something. It doesn't matter. It should be $50 a month, $100 a month, or $300. It depends on the pocket of a person. Depends on the nature of the person. But even a person can't afford the money. Even a person who he can't allow himself to give her money because his nature, whatever it is. But there must be a token of freedom which he gives her. This is your money. Do as you want. Do as you like. She must feel a certain independence. If not, she feels as a total slave. What's happening? In the beginning, she takes it. Because she wants to be nice. She takes it. Comes a few years later, and once she kicks it, once she rejects, once she rebels, she becomes boss. And she starts yelling and screaming, and all of a sudden, you see you're losing a wife. Unless you start paying money, giving, borrowing, doing everything. And then you lost total control. But we, from the right in the beginning, if you give her her independence, you give her a position, you give her a private life, but she has a freedom on it. You wouldn't come ever to the point that later on she should reject or should fall. Obviously, Chazal tells us, "Ose lo odem lahatl emi yaseir betoch beisa." It's a Gemara in Gittin. Never ever impose terror or yelling or fear in your home. Now, this doesn't mean that you yell and scream like a mishuganer. Something you could do it very quietly, very subtle way. Never ever make your wife should be fearing of you. Even you make it in a very nice way, in a very, very, very gentle way. A woman should not fear her husband. Because the minute a woman fears her husband, it's not botach alav v'balo. It's it's not something which you could really build you. She's fearing you. And she will never do something out of care. And even if she does feel ready something, you really don't getting it because the way you want to get it. You're getting it because she's fearing you. A woman who feels, who walks on eggs at home, how shall I speak to my husband, not to offend her husband? She must feel that I could take anything from you, I'm forgiving, I understand you. Be open, be natural. A woman that cannot be 100% natural with her husband is actually living in a concentration camp. He's actually locked up in a prison. She can't express feelings. Then the next thing is she has to speak to friends, she has to bring to relatives, and that's her only exposure. And of course, that's the first thing which ruins the life. That's the first thing which ruins a family life. We mentioned that already before, but I mentioned the Gemara, L'oylem ye'odem zoyer b'ano es ishtai. A person should be always very careful not to cause any inconvenience or pain to his wife. Shemitoch shidimosa metzu ha'ino osa k'raiva. Because her teeth are very close to Hashem. Now, one thing which you have to know, we have to be very much afraid of the teeth of a woman. You have to be afraid of the teeth of a woman. It's Mishka Chochmas. When a woman cries, you say, Kol HaShorim Ninalu, all the gates are Shar Demois, Lo Ninalu. The gates of Demois, of tears, not. So it's also when we bring our wives to the stage of pain, that they start shedding tears, is the opposite. We know that the schus of a woman, the Gemara says in the schus of a woman, we are being enriched, we're having our gifts of the home is coming, the schus of a woman. The whole the Gemara says, Shechina shoyer bebayis beglalo isha. The whole Shechina is in the house because of the isha. But brocha shoyer kasher miskasher azocha menakeber. Zohar Kodesh says, the brocha in a Jewish home is when a husband and wife have a regular unity, they're living together with harmony, with peace, that brings brocha. That's a fact. Now what's happening when we make her cry, we make her unhappy? There's no proper kesher, there's no proper yuchud, we're just literally driving out our brocha, our blessing, our shira. The Gemara says, respect your wife, give cover to your wife, in order she tisash, in order she become rich. The more you make your wife happy at home, and your wife is pleasant with you, is happy with you, that's the brocha of a shir, that brings the brocha down. In the opposite, when we make our wife cry, she's chasing out the shechina from the house, and there's no brocha shir in that house. Now even you may have money put away in banks and CDs, and no matter where it is, no matter what you may have, there's no brocha in that money. You could have no money and have a lot of brocha. You have a beautiful, prosperous life, a productive life. Life is not after money. Brocha is not after money. Money also needs a brocha that should be able to properly utilize them. Very important part is part of respecting a woman, says the Gemara in Sanhedrin. You have to care of our external appearance of our wives. Try to buy them beautiful clothes. It's not luxury. Unless your wife doesn't care for it. But if your wife, why did the Kodesh Baruch Hu instill to women the need of to be beautiful for jewelry, for cosmetics, and for clothing, in order that we should be able to why? The Gemara says, Hidir Chetzoinir, the Rashi brings it down in Sanhedrin, Ein Ish Eile Letech Tzitim. The woman is, nothing pleases a woman so much as jewelry, as beautiful dressings. This makes a woman happy. This is our luck. I know many men who had bitterly complained, there's nothing I could make my wife happy. She doesn't care for jewelry, she doesn't care for clothing, she doesn't care for vacations, she doesn't care for all those things. There's nothing that I could buy for her, nothing that I could buy her. And those men are much, much worse off. Those women who go for these petty things, and you do it, this is a Kodesh Baruch Hu did it, and all you should be able to provide her. Final thing, something I'm going to conclude with this, it's getting a little bit late. Not to share any private matters between your husband and wife, not to your friends, and not to your immediate relatives. Especially, dvorim, shebeinu lebeinu, private matters between you and your wife, should never be discussed for any outside party, unless it's a party which is guiding both of your lives, which a sale of is talak min asafik. One of the worst problems which we have in our generation today, that most of our couples get no instructions how to live together. They couldn't get us from their parents because our parents come from a totally different breed, from a totally different past. And anything which was good for them is not good for the young couples of today. And there's no instructions. And everyone tries to work it out on their own, and they make a lot of mistakes. And until they're getting a little bit older, they pay the too big of a price. The right people, the smart people, is the one, those couples, who immediately come forward between themselves, would be a good thing, husband and wife, as they're getting married, to appoint between themselves a mutual third party which both of them trust. It's a very important thing. To fulfill the mitzvah, Seil Achrav is Talak Min HaSofek. You have to know. Every personal manner creates fakers. It's Shoychat. It's Negiah. Any personal matter, we are meshuchad, we're totally bribed, and we don't see a clear picture. And the loch of shoychad is v'shove pruta, even a slight little negi of shove pruta, we're totally blind. And I could be smart as Moshe Rabbeinu. The Torah says, Eidus, k'shoychad yaver ein chochom, it could be a chochom as Shloim HaMelech. Here, shoychad is ma'avir. There isn't something more negi, more meshuchad, more bribed than a couple who live together and one of them is being hurt. No way can you see objectively. So what's happening? The first thing you have to know, when you're being hurt, or you hurting her, or she's being hurt, that you can't see clear picture. You can't see the clear objective picture. So what do you see when you're blind? You have the person who does see. Who is the person? A Seil Achrav, a third person. And that third person does not have the morale. Doesn't have to be a big man. It just has to be an honest person and an objective person. And here comes a problem. Usually, when the man picks his person, she picks her person, it's a tremendous problem. Because he feeds him according to his viewpoint. She feeds her instructor according to his viewpoint. And they're formulating these two things. Therefore, I do not accept never a one-sided complaint. When a woman calls me up having problems, man calls me up and says, I can't help you unless your husband wants to talk to me. I can't help you unless your wife wants to talk to me. When both people do not have joint mutual confidence in the third person really cannot. However, we have a tremendous problem. We have a certain complex that we are afraid to go to third person. Who knows what? But it's not so. When you have a beautiful, beautiful car, you're driving a Volvo, a very beautiful car, you have little problems. You immediately go to a mechanic. You could still go. It's not a problem. Nobody does it. I just paid $40,000 for the car. Immediately go to the mechanic. Because I paid $40,000. If I would have a jalopy, paid $300, that's a little problem, I would neglect it. I wouldn't care about it. Let it go. Stalls a little bit. Big deal. Futach. It goes. But if I paid $40,000, I don't want to have any little thing. Immediately go to the mechanic. You fix it right away. It could be a little oil, a little thing. Everything is smooth again. A marriage is more than $40,000. It's a binyan adiyat. There isn't a bigger investment that you have in them. What do? We neglect to take care of this. We're going to go back, we're going to fight over, put them underneath the rug. That's the biggest mistake. When couples would know immediately after they get in chasana, let's appoint a mutual third person which both of us trust. We could speak openly. You could speak openly about me. I should speak openly. We should be able to air out things. We're going to go together, getting immediate instruction. They could save themselves so much agony, so much problem. Because then, right in the beginning, they're getting adjusted. He knows how to take care of her. He can't see through her. She can't see through him. And as right in the beginning, when they're getting jointly how to work with each other, they save themselves so much. All kind of things they save themselves. And by the way, that's what the Mishnah says. A Seil Achrav is Talak Min HaSofek. We're not allowed to go out and to hurt each other at a time it could be helped. This is the final thing which I very much recommend, that the first thing which you should do right after getting chasana, that we do not want to make the mistake which other people make. It becomes like a b'chisako, like we have problems. That's not a problem. The fact that you go out to ask how to improve situation, how to make it better. Matter of fact, the whole idea why we came to the seminars, to making seminars, because we realized we have all those problems. If I speak to men alone, it's fair for the man, but it's unfair for the woman. Speak to the woman alone, it's fair for the woman, it's unfair for the man. And I realize this creates problems. Yeah. One is going this, one is going the other way, and everyone interprets his own way. They don't hear it together. And that created the need of a seminar, because I saw people have to hear together the messages, and then when they hear it together, at least they could communicate further together, they grow together, they know how to ask the questions together. And we had seen it in the past, people come to the seminar, after the seminar, they did much differently, they work together, they learn together, they could communicate, they could understand each other, and then they have the confidence come to the third person, whoever they heard then, and to talk about it, and to accomplish it. Pick me while I'm going to keep it. Any questions?
Let's say your wife is not dealing rationally with the situation, and you need to accomplish something, then the decision has to be made that can't be put off. So what do you do about coercing her? In other words, you know, if something has to be decided and there's some kind of a deadline.
Okay. If it's a small matter, which is a petty matter, which is, if you're going to give in to her, it's not going to be who knows what. First thing is to please her. And let you see later that she was wrong. That's number one, because that's the best way of training. You have a different viewpoint on certain matter. What you see, if you're going to give it to her, she's wrong, totally wrong. You happen to know that she's totally wrong. What if she's going to let her away? It's going to go out, it's going to cost you $100. I had once a partner. Very nice guy, but he had a certain mental blockage about a certain situation. I'm not going to go into detail. And he wanted something very badly. And I realized, no matter how much I explain rationally, he's not capable of feeding him because he wants it. And I used to tell him, you know what? Go ahead and do it. And I know it's going to cost the company so much and so much money. But please be big enough boy later on to admit it was a mistake. And I'm not going to be angry at you. Because I realized I can't bring across my viewpoint unless he gets a taste of it. Now, if your wife wants something which is totally not rational, if it's something who knows what, give it into her. And be quiet about it until the point she's going to realize she was wrong. If it's something which is too serious to give in, then you could tell your wife very firmly, you know I care about you, you know I'm giving you this and this and this and this, please listen at this time to me. Maybe later you will understand, do me a favor, listen to me. And then when she sees that she listens to you, she's doing you a favor, making it, you're just stopping her to do something which at this moment you can't properly rationally explain her. But you get it your way, but you backed it up with a lot of support. I'm not dictating, oh please, and I'm giving this, and I'm caring, but please do me a favor at this time, give me this. If you do it that way, not dictate, not yelling and screaming. Because you have to realize that she doesn't understand. If you yell and scream, she will double not understand. She blocks, she closes up. When people do not, when you're talking about rational and emotional things, you can't bring any point across. There's no point talking to the wall. You're talking to the wall. So you have to wait until things calm down, everything is done, and then you prepare the ground. And if you have a good communication, you're learning it in a daily way. You're learning about this issue, bringing it across little by little. You could explain it to her. The main thing is, which is very important, you know, Shlomo Melech calls, Kadosh Baruch Hu calls Am Yisrael, Biti, Imi, Choisi, Rayosi, all kind of names. Our wives are the same things. Sometimes she's Rayosi, my wife. Sometimes she's a Choisi, she's not clear as a Choisi. Sometimes, a lot of times she's Imi, she's my mother. She gives a lot of support, emotional support for us when we need it. And sometimes she's Biti. When is she Biti? When you have your own daughter and you can't talk to her, you don't throw her out. She's hooked on something. And you want to bring a point to her, you're not squashing her. It's your daughter. If you look at, sometimes you have to look at your wife, she's stubborn about something, this is your daughter. You can't throw her out. And you have to give in. You're being shortchanged, you never feel shortchanged to your daughter. It's a matter of time, she's going to grow up. If you give in to her as you're giving to your daughter, you look at her as your daughter, and you tolerate her, little by little, she grows up, and then she doesn't eat anymore. She says, how foolish was I, this and this, that. Because most of the women, they want to learn, they want to understand, they want to please the husband. They just don't understand it. And when this is an emotional, irrational thing, there's nothing in the world you could rationalize at that time. So either it's a petty thing, give in, let you learn to learn. If it's a very important thing, please listen to me, do me a favor, I'm going to compensate you with this and this and this. You will see the second time. Because we can't talk to her. But then after that, and if it's not so urgent, it says, you know, we have a common structure which both of us think. I respect your viewpoint. Don't tell her, you're irrational, don't know what you're talking. If you give her respect. It says, I don't understand you, you don't understand me, therefore the Mishnah says, say lechav, start with a suffix, let's discuss it, there's no point not to be embarrassed. So when you come to the third person usually feels how to bring the point across. He knows where the obstacle is, because the third person hasn't got the negias as the husband has. So either he's managing to bring the point across to her and to make her listen, either if he can't, he tells the husband, you better give in because later on it's going to happen. Either she comes to the woman, I understand, you don't understand, but you have to give it to your husband. But you have to stop doing it. And if you're doing it often, if you're doing it according to instruction of Torah, usually we save all these problems and you save marriages through that. Any other question? About the previous lectures, if you have any.
How do you go about
How can you convince her? This has to be the proper way to do it right in advance, right in the beginning, before there's conflict. Before there's conflict, you make up who will be our rav, who we discuss. This is something which is not common, but unfortunately, what's happening, but unfortunately, is problems. So if you try to deal with it, you mess it up, with mushroom it, you make it bigger and bigger and bigger. When it becomes unbearable anymore, so he speaks to his chaverim, and he goes speaks to his, and she goes to her friends, and everyone brings their advice, total opposite advice, and even snowballs it into the greater problem. And there's nothing wrong, right in the Shev Baruch Hu, right in the Shev by human beings, we make a commitment to each other not to make mistakes in the house, we shouldn't hurt each other, but after all we have opposite opinions, opposite feelings, and there's no reason why we shouldn't go and discuss it with the third party. We're going to go discuss with the third party. Obviously it has to be a third party who is objective, a third party who is honest, a third party knows how to keep his mouth shut, which he's not allowed to give it, this business out to nobody else, he stays by it and fatigue, which is to be, and it has to be a ben Torah, not a marriage counselor, and not a secular, and not the talk shows of the radio, and not the psychology write-up in the Jewish press. Those are not our third parties. Our third parties, this has to be Das Torah, which comes Hashkofes HaTorah. More questions? I said in the first lecture, Avish, I would have had such instructions when I got married. Avish. We started differently, I mean, we had to learn everything now, but it's never too late, as we said, Shoner Rishayna could be done 15 years, 20 years after the Chasana, could be done Shoner Rishayna, but it's much harder, greater price, but we have to do it, there's no choice. Yes?
I have another question. You say that the rishus for the house, that belongs to the wife. On the other hand, if the husband moves from the house, and he has to, let's say he wants to learn Torah in the house, but because how she arranges it, or she disturbs him, or it could be a number of things, like he just doesn't feel like he can accomplish anything in the house. So then, if it's no gaya, let's say it's no gaya to doing mitzvahs or hachnasas or from a learning Torah, so then how do you reconcile the two? Let's say the husband, he wants to have a lot of orchim, let's say his wife doesn't.
Sholem Bayis comes the first thing, it's her right. Your responsibility is first, the Mesilas Yesharim says the klal godel. You're not allowed to be mischafed on somebody else's cheshem. If you want to do something more than you are required to do, and therefore you bring your wife to anger, you bring your wife to shout, you make her, you machshul her, the chassidus is not to do it. It's for chlal, about anything. If I don't deal with a chassidus and you're going to laugh and you're not going to be machshul, I shouldn't do it. That's not loch. That's the chassidus Hashem puts down. Achas kama v'kama. We have to know there isn't a more important part in our life than to bring in harmony in our Jewish home. That's the first thing, because the Yetzer Hara is the biggest benefactor when we destroy our home. And he will impose. First he will try to do it in a junky way, he will do it in a bummish way, and if it doesn't go, he will try to start home with frumes rachen. Nothing. We have to know Chazal had given leniency for Rabbonim, because of Sholem Bayis, they unbelievable thing to give up for Sholem Bayis. As Chazal tell us that the Mizbech Moedah L'Demolos, Sholem Bayis eventually, if it blows, it goes to divorce, the Mizbech is crying. And you know, there's nothing in the Torah which is so broadly put down as marriage. The Shulchan Aruch is very precisely describing Shabbos, Kashrus, Tefillah. There's very little variance between one Shita and other Shita. When it comes to Tzniyas, behavior between a husband and wife goes from one extreme to the other extreme. Shulchan Aruch. One extreme, simar eshmei min orachaim. You have to be like kofer shed. You have to be da 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 da. And there's other halachos you could see unbelievable things. Why there's such a wide range of things? The answer is, it's always about a situation. In case something has to be done, leniency on halacha. Of course, you cannot paskin yourself. Never. You have to go to competent moiraror. But how many moiraror had allowed women to have their own hair somehow, somewhere, because in order to have shalom bayis. So before you impose any kind of chassidus, the only time when you have the right, if she interferes with your personal, absolute minimum chiyuvim, she tells you don't go to daven to be, even that. There's certain women at a certain stage of life, which I'm not going to go into detail. They didn't let her husband go to daven in shul. They wanted to be home. You have to be home. Because paskin, you have to be home. Madach, I remember I went to ask one of my I expected a child to be born on Shabbos. So I went to ask the prophet of Zechariah Bracha. She has to go to Rasul, should I go along with her? She says, if she wants you to be next to her, you have to go along. So for her convenience, I have to be Mechal of Shabbos. So her convenience, I have to be next to her, not to go to shul, daven at home. This is the first prime. We have to set our priorities, our destiny of life has to be set before we're getting married. To know exactly what you have to, when you're getting married, when you're Jewish, when you're married already, you have to know my priority in everything is to make the best marriage, to make the happiest home. When I come home, I have to break my head, how can I make my wife happy? And if it has to cost to give up Midas HaChassidus, you have to do it. Because Midas HaChassidus is HaChassidus, but to make her happy is a Midas HaSedraisa. Bringing a hav in the house after Achuk Mokas mitzvah seser drives every second, and not a poshita mitzvah seser, Klal Gol Shemetor, one of the biggest mitzvah sesers. And therefore, the Yetzer Hava will let you become a chosid, Yetzer Hava will let you do many, many things, but in order to destroy the hav in the harmony in the home. This is priority number one. Okay, no more questions about this? Okay, on the next lecture, what?
מגוון שיעורי כל הלשון נמסרים על ידי מגדי שיעורים ורבנים המשקיעים מזמנם וכוחם ללמד לרבים. אם ברצונכם וביכולתכם לסייע ולתמוך במגדי השיעורים ובמוסדות התורה שבאחריותם, תוכלו ליצור קשר ישיר עם הרבנים. לקבלת פרטי מגדי השיעורים ניתן לפנות למשרדי כל הלשון בטלפון 02-581-6622 או בכתובת דואר אלקטרוני lstrudel@kol.com.